Take questions, first of all, from the board. Any board members have questions?
What's the experience that other districts have had with the canopy mounts regarding snow plowing and things in the winter? And that was an issue that's come up before. I noticed where this presentation is much, we've basically moved away from roof mounts as much as possible, it seems, and headed toward canopies.
Can you hear in the back of the gym, back of the room? Can you hear? Thank you.
We moved away from roof mounts for two reasons. One is that all the other roofs at the other school locations, but for the middle school, are older roofs that may not coincide with the warranty on the solar panels, which is about 25 years. So we want to make certain that the district gets the best savings per kilowatt hour, number one. Number two, as far as the snow plowing on the canopies is concerned, there is little snow but for drift that would accumulate under the canopies. The panels themselves are dark colored in nature, so they're hotter than the ambient air temperature, so the snow melts on them faster than melting on a typical roof. And just to add to that, any of the snow plowing will still happen on the ingress and egress aisles, okay? So the canopies only cover the parking spaces, so that you can still plow free and clear in all of the aisles without any limits.
They're totally contiguous, right? There's no spaces or slots between any of the parking spaces, so no snow drift ends up.
Of course, there will be snow drift. The canopy, the lowest point on the canopy for the parking, and not for the bus drop off, but for the parking, is about 8.5 feet above the finished grade.
That was my question. Is the row totally contiguous? Are there any spaces at all?
There are no spaces unless there are existing vertical light poles that the district plans to keep, and then we would stop and start the canopies.
Okay. As a follow-up to Mark's question, please. So if the canopy is dark, that would lead one to conclude that the ground below is colder than the surrounding ground. Therefore, if there was water runoff from snow drifting, that would tend to freeze and create black ice, etc. So how is that addressed?
There are two things. Number one, the canopies, the parking lot canopies, typically are not water resistant, meaning between each one of the panels, there's approximately an inch spacing all the way around. So there will be some water that will come through. As far as having the underside of the canopies cooler, that's simply a result of having a canopy outdoor. There can be lights there, but it will not abate. It will not make it any warmer.
Right. So now, if there's runoff from snow, so we have snow plowed. It's banked over there. It runs off. It goes underneath the panel. That could create runoff, and then we should freeze. So then how is that addressed? Just traditional sand and salt?
Yes. There is nothing different that the solar canopy installations are doing to address that. And these type of panels, and we can direct you to locations that they're already in place, and to look for any of the comments of the existing users. And if you'd like, I can get you those comments and get it back to the board.
We would.
Because honestly, I don't have a definitive answer for you, but I'd rather get it from someone that has used the canopies currently and has them in place. This way you can see how they maintain it.
Perfect.
Can you go back to Spruce Run School slide?
Sure. That's the stardom.
Kevin, I saw that Maria had a question, and I also had a question.
What is the distance between the actual blacktop and then the bottom part of the first panel?
The bottom part of the structure is 8.5 feet.
When the town comes in to plow for us, how big are they? The big trucks that they plow for
us?
Yes,
but they only do the bus loop. They don't go into.
They just do the bus loop.
Correct.
And so, do our trucks then fit underneath that?
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Actually, my follow-up would be, when you showed specifically Round Valley and Patrick McGarren, they have islands in between, which would be a great place to put those posts in, but you just said, talked about the light posts. Is there a standard span that these structures come in, or is there a sense that, you know, when we count floor tiles, they're a foot square, so we know, you know, how many will fit in a room? It's the same idea with the panels, so I can, you can guess between one light post and the other, would we be using
the columns are the columns for the cantilevered canopies are spaced about three parking spaces a piece, but the columns are in between the spaces. They're not so they don't restrict the parking.
Right. Right. But in this case, you made reference to where the current lighting is,
mm-hmm.
and all our lighting is in the islands. So depending, obviously, it's going to get in the way of.
Well, there would be one of two choices. Either the current lighting is removed and new lighting is placed underneath the canopies, which is the preferred method, or if the lights are to remain, we can stop and start the canopies. The problem is those canopies will tend to cut off the light spread from the higher, right? So what we typically wind up doing is removing those lights and placing lights underneath the canopy so that you have some direct light there.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
I have just two questions on that. The anticipated solar rate, the 10 cents,
mm-hmm.
where does that come from?
That comes from experience with the power purchase agreement companies quoting on these types of projects.
Okay, so that's what other entities are going out when they're putting out an RFP. Those are the numbers they're getting back from the PPA now.
Yes, on average. The numbers will vary higher or lower based on the based on the amount of ground mount or roof mount or canopy mount, and here's how I can expand upon that. The roof mount installation in place, meaning with an inverter and you turn the switch and everything works, on average is about costs about $5 a watt. The ground mount on average costs about $3 a watt. The canopy mount on average costs anywhere from $7 to $9 a watt. So what does that mean? If you're doing all canopy mount, the PPA is going to charge you more per kilowatt hour because it costs them more. If you're doing all ground mount, to be on the other end of the spectrum, the PPA company is going to charge you less per kilowatt hour because it costs them less. So we tried to give you our best guess average based on what you have here. It is not set in stone. Just to give you an example, one of our districts was paying 17.6 cents a kilowatt hour. The best proposal came back in at 5.45 cents a kilowatt hour. It was a 500 kW system. It had rooftop and canopy. So, you know, this is a best guess, but, you know, we have to go out to competitive pricing.
And your anticipated savings number, that's based on that you're assuming that the district pays the same rate in the next 15 years that we're paying now, not any escalation in depreciation in rates?
No, a couple things. Number one, when you get the proposal back from the PPA company, they're going to give you an initial or first year energy rate, which is that 9 or 9.5 cents that I spoke of. They're going to give you something called a rate escalator, which ranges anywhere from 2.5 to 3.25%, which escalates their rate to you, okay, on an annual basis. We have used those criteria. In addition to that, we've escalated your current utility rate at 2% per year, okay? So when we generated the savings, it's taken into consideration the escalator for the PPA at 2.75%, which is an average. We've also taken into consideration that your current utility rate on the 23% of energy that you would purchase from the utility company is still going to rise at a rate of 2% per year. And we can, I had to do that chart to get to this number. I'd be more than happy to provide that to Pat.
That's a big variable to take into consideration as the RFPs come in, what escalator rate they use.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, keep in mind, when the PPAs come in, you're doing a whole review, so you're not just looking at their initial energy rate, because the PPAs are going to generate something. They're going to generate an initial energy rate. They're going to generate a rate escalator. They're going to generate a buyback rate per watt,
right.
Okay? And all of these things are going to be analyzed to determine who's offering you the best package, not just the best beginning or the best end.
Yeah.
Two questions for you. The first one, I wanted to make sure I understood. You were not advocating a roof mount because of the disparity in the warranty on the existing roof versus the life expectancy of the solar panels?
That's correct.
Okay.
Typically, if we recommend roof mounts, if the system size is large enough, we will build some of the roof replacement, and it would be a 20 to 25-year roof into the requirement for the PPA. Again, your system certainly qualifies for that size. Or in the case of other districts where the PPAs are smaller, we'd recommend that the district replace the roof in kind prior to the execution of the PPA. Essentially, any non-solar stuff that you ask the PPA to execute for you will never be for free. It will always be reflected in your price per kilowatt hour. So if you ask a PPA company to execute for you all roof mounted on brand new roofs, and they give you a rate of 8 cents, and you say, listen, I want you to do the same project, and by the way, I want you to give me all new roofs as well, they're gonna say, okay, I could do that for you for 12 cents. So it's gonna directly affect your rate of savings based on anything other than solar that you ask the PPA to do.
Okay, but we would still be entertaining PPAs that would put in a roof mount and take a look at comparative bids across that? Or
yes, what we're gonna do as your architect of record is we will establish locations for solar mounts, we will establish minimum KW amounts that they need to achieve, we will establish specifications for any roof areas that we need upgraded or replaced, and we will meet with multiple PPAs prior to going out to bid, specifically to get feedback on what's called the packaging of the PPA. And what does that mean simply? We need and we will test the PPAs at that time to understand what packages, whether it's roof mount, ground canopy mount, with without roofs, what packages will generate a profitable pro forma on behalf of the PPA. Because very different than a design bid build scenario, there will be no PPAs that will bid on this project but for their ability to make a profit.
Okay. And next question, you had mentioned using potentially here some of the land across the street there, but since that is not contiguous, what kind of potential challenges do we foresee since that's a separate parcel of land?
Well, although it's not contiguous, the MLUL, the Municipal Land Use Law, recognizes that the right-of-way will not limit two piece of properties being non-contiguous if they're owned by the same entity.
Okay.
So that's really our approach to that scenario.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm sure you've thought of this, and is there any way to use the hills so that we don't have all these canopies all over the parking lots and have to deal with ice? Between Spruce Run and TTMS, there are some hills that are wasted, except when we get our couple of inches of snow every once in a while, the kids have fun there. But can we utilize that versus building these huge structures in the parking lot?
Yes. And this is the first, and the answer is absolutely. And this is a first blush at where we might think the things might go. However, it is critical to us to get feedback from the administration and from the board to understand where you may want some of the canopies to shift to, or where you might not want any canopies. And this is a perfect example. The hills, if they're situated on anywhere from a 10 to a 15 or 20 degree slope, can be perfect for this type of solar installation, and you can tier them downhill and kind of tuck them in. So, but yes, this is the kind of feedback that we're looking for, because this is a blush at where we think it can go, but we need your feedback to start to finalize some of those locations for the RFP. Yes, sir.
Kevin. On the slide toward the back where you adjusted the system size down, we eliminated the roof mounts on the three schools and we left the middle school. I just saw it there. That one. The lease term is 15 years. If we can identify roofs that have a 15-year warranty remaining, do they become a better option than a canopy mount?
It does. However, the panels are good for 25 years. what you wind up doing if you would select to do that, there are two things. At the end of 15 years, and this kind of goes to the question, what happens at the end of 15 years? At the end of 15 years, you can ask the PPA company to remove the system wholly and completely. You can renegotiate a new up to 15-year lease still in accordance with the school public contracts law, or you can buy the system from them. Now, if you were to A, renegotiate a new lease at that 15 years, or B, buy the system from them, you as a district is still having to take those panels off at 15 years and put in a new roof, but you're putting back on the same panels because the panel warranty will exceed the roof. So you're either paying the piper earlier or later. So that's why we try to set up the panel lifetime to be concurrent to the warranty for the roof.
Okay, and at, for example, Round Valley, where I thought we had the availability to do more ground mount, in that revised scenario here, there was no ground mount in the downsized plan. Should we maximize ground mounts where available, taking aesthetics into account because of the
That is a perfect example of the preference of the board as to what you would select to do, and this is the reason why we put this out to you. What we tried to do here is give you what your demand is, what your projected goal is, and then make an initial decision as to where we can eliminate. Now, again, you may say to us, listen, we want the ground mount instead of the canopy mount. Okay. Then we shift that. And again, this is excellent. This is the kind of feedback we're looking for. But whether it's a ground mount is less expensive to put in place than canopy mount. Again, $3 a watt in place as opposed to $7 or $9 a watt in place. So if you do all ground mount as opposed to all canopy mount, your savings will be higher. Okay.
Well, last question, the ground mount assumption at the middle school, that 565 kW. How much acreage is 565 kW? Is there any rule of thumb?
Let's see. The panels themselves are about 7-8 square feet apiece. However, you do have to anticipate the sun, altitude, and azimuth. So we anticipated approximately 15 to 20 square feet in real space per panel. Don't ask me to do the math on that. But so if you take 565 kW is 565,000 watts. Each panel is 445. Each panel is 445 watts.
Okay. I'll get my applicants out later on.
I can read them off. I can't do the calculations that fast.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the board? All right, at this time then, we'll open it up to the public. If there's anyone in the audience who has a question for our architect, please feel free to come to the mic and ask away. This is on solar energy.
Well, the panels themselves can range in wattage. We look at anything from 220 watts per panel to 245 watts per panel. However, all the panels would be the same. The amount of energy that they can generate is directly attributable to A, the slope of the panel, whether it's 10 degrees, 15 degrees, 20 degrees, number one. Number two, how true to north and south. So how true south-facing the panel is. And when you looked at a lot of the canopy locations for the parking lot, the canopies would go over the parking spaces. And they're going to face, sometimes they'll face east-west. We try to get them to face as true south as we can. So the further off from true south that they are, the less energy, less efficient that they will be. So to answer your question, twofold, the panels themselves are typically 245 watts per panel. That's the same. The energy generation on a per panel basis is dependent on how true south it faces, okay? And thirdly, the cost in place of that panel is directly attributable to whether it's a ground mount at $3 a watt in place, a roof mount at $5 a watt in place, or a canopy mount at $7 to $9 a watt in place.
Well, because most of our schools have large amounts of property that they use, so it would make more sense not to use the parking lot unless we absolutely had to avoid any problems. For example, like Round Valley, their front parking lot is a lot smaller than, you know, Spruce Run's parking lot,
And that is an excellent point. And one thing I want to stress is this evening is certainly not an end-all, be-all. We wanted to give the board an understanding in definitive terms of how big of a system they can do on a per-school basis and what their options are to locate it. But certainly this is the invitation to say, listen, we don't want to see the canopies over the parking. We want you to utilize the ground. And that's the kind of direction we're looking for from the board. But thank you.
Sorry, I'm jumping out of turn here. What the optimal angle that you would place the panels at, how does that correlate with the snow melting off and actually sliding off? Because if they're too low, it sits there.
The angle that we would place the panels is 10 to 15 degrees. And as far as the second question, the only way I can answer it is this. This is my best answer for you, but for knowing the specifics of snow sliding off a roof angle. Typically, if the slope of a roof is anything less than 3 on 12, we typically specify a metal roof because a slope of more than 3 on 12, we could do a typical asphalt shingle roof. So how that translates into degrees, I can't do calculations after 6 o'clock. So that's my best answer for you.
Okay. 10 to 15 degrees will be a problem.
10 to 15 degrees is optimal for the...
Ours are a little about that. And
yeah, 10 to 15 degrees is optimal for the panel slope. And this is for this region. Now, if you said to me, listen, if we want to do it in California or Texas, the slope is different based on the location.
Okay.
Might be a dumb question, but I'm assuming the...
Would you please state your name and address, sir?
Mark DeAndrea, Annandale, New Jersey. My assumption is that the $185,000 a year you plan on saving takes into account breakage and maintenance. I mean, because those variables can change things quickly.
That's an excellent question. Now, the system, the delivery method or the build method that we're looking at here is called the power purchase agreement, and that specifically is for a third-party entity to design and build the system, own and maintain the system. Now, that PPA, as a matter of the response to the proposal, would generate a contract with the district, and they would set a contract for a minimum amount of energy to be delivered. And as I said, the PPA will own and operate and maintain the system. Okay, which means that, and they will insure the system. Which means if there is breakage, damage, or anything of that nature, it will be in the best interest of the PPA or third-party provider to get that fixed as quickly as possible, because they still are under contract to deliver the same amount of energy to the district. So the answer is the district is not at risk based on any potential breakage, damage, inoperable panels. The PPA or third-party provider takes that risk because they own the system, the district does not. So that's how that liability does shift.
And being that there's so much conversation about snow, my assumption is, now you said that the town plows the outside or the outskirts of the school. You have a company that plows the inside of the lot? Is that correct?
No, we do it ourselves.
Okay, because I was going to say that they may be concerned about the liability of hitting one of these things as they're running their plows through there. So
we don't use any vendors.
Well, once again, the PPA company, including canopies, does own the canopies. As they own the canopies, they own the panels. They insure them.
Evening, Nick Corcadellis, Clinton Township. The largest component seems to be the 565 kilowatts ground mount at the middle school. Those will be mounted where?
They'll be ground mount. We were looking at the 17-acre vacant property for that.
Have you done a comparative analysis of the comparative benefits of this installation compared to the benefits of other proposed uses of that site?
No, sir. I have not. The district may have. My charge, from the district was to determine if we can place panels on that property.
There have been proposals for a community center and YMCA on that site. There have been proposals for a revenue-generating, much-needed commuter parking area on that site. I'm wondering if the board is doing a comparative analysis of benefits between those projects and a project like this.
From what we've discussed, I don't know if we're allowed to bring to light the, how far we got, Mark, already in discussion with the YMCA because of the nature of a possible contract. Back when we were doing that, sir, we were in discussions with YMCA and their directors, and we had gotten an approval, an appraisal of the land to build an idea of a proposal, what that lease would be. I will put it to the chair to say whether or not we can make that public.
I don't see why not. What do we call it, $100,000 a year?
Yes.
So I think was our estimate. Again, you know, something's worth what somebody's willing to pay, obviously, but, you know, at the beginning of the day, we estimated that we would probably generate about $100,000 a year if we leased the land. Having said all that...
I'm sorry, I'm not following anything. Has anything been made public by the board about the YMCA project? You're referring to numbers here, but I'm not familiar with anything that the board has presented to the public about those negotiations. Is that...
What are you asking? You're asking about the state of the negotiations? I'm not sure what your question is.
What I'm asking is, will there be a comparative analysis done of the relative merits of a project like this and how it would benefit the district and our town compared to the other proposed projects?
I think the answer is clearly yes. I mean, no decision has been made. This is one option. We've asked this man to do a number of analysis. Nobody said that we're putting panels there or we're not putting panels there. The YMCA discussion, I believe, is still active.
Correct.
There's still discussion of fields. There's lots of discussions about what to do with the land, and no decisions have been made.
But you just said yes, there has been a comparative analysis done. Did I misunderstand you?
The solar part.
Right.
You're seeing the presentation today.
Right.
We're seeing this presentation for the first time today. So we have not folded in yet these numbers to compare with these other items.
So I'll go back to my original question. Will the board present a comparative analysis of the benefits of this project versus the two projects that have been proposed that are public?
I don't see why we shouldn't.
Correct. Out of the Finance and Facilities Committee, I'm sure there will be a comparison between what has been proposed for that land and usage and other ideas that have come forward since then, along with what we'd asked Mr. Sanabrino to do for us in looking at that land as one contiguous place.
Now we've got this. Can you give us an idea of when we might hear about the other proposed projects and benefits, or
do you have
a time frame?
There will be discussion on the 27th meeting about other options for this land as well. It will be on the agenda.
Because when looking at that one property, which is the Spruce Run Middle School property, one of the things that we looked at was, would it be possible to create solar on the other side and put that over as another use for that land, as well as looking at that hillside. Kevin has given us different ideas, and then we will start to look at how that will work out. But there will be comparison, as well as a decision by this board who kind of decided we're going to put that on hold for now as far as discussion with the Y, and whether or not that will come to fruition.
Okay, now I'm really confused.
Sure.
Either what you're doing with the Y is on hold, or you're going to announce something about the Y, yes or no. My question again is, I'm concerned about the relative merits of different uses of that property. This may be one great use of the property. My question again is, will you provide us with a back-to-back comparison and an analysis of the relative merits of each of these proposed projects?
If the Finance and Facilities Committee is looking to do that, yes.
I will
put that out there.
All right, thanks.
By the one thing to keep in mind is it isn't all a one. I just did my back of the envelope calculations. I think we're talking under an acre.
Oh, I understand.
So we
understand that.
We do multiple things.
I understand.
Division of Y and panels and fields. So
all right, thanks.
Okay.
Are we getting the recording of everything from the public? Everything is being recorded? Yes, sir.
Hi, Tom Custer from Foxfire Lane. I just had, I'd like to comment maybe more detail later if I can. I don't want to drag you guys into the dirt here, but a couple things I think we should consider. One is, it's a struggle for me, the with the aesthetics versus the use of the of these canopies in particular. So the canopies, I think maybe beauty's in the eye of the beholder here, right, a little bit. So I'd be interested in, if we went through a bid, or to the extent you look at this packaging, Kevin, to see what the economics look like with and without, or maybe with a more modest approach rather than, I think what we looked at here is one way to optimize, which is to get the most dollars out of this effort. And that's one view on optimization. I think we could maybe look at a view that has something that's less impactful to our generally bucolic school district here that would, let's say, balance some of that off, especially to the impact that if it's the $7, $8, or $9 a watt installations that we're peeling back, then maybe the savings isn't going to be as impacted relative to the mix, right? So the cheap, you'd have a higher percentage of the cheaper stuff versus the potentially more highly impactful to the view or the feel of our schools. So to me, that's an important factor. I don't know that I can judge on behalf of everyone here, and I got to tell you, it's going to be hard to build consensus if you ask me on that. Someone's going to have to stand up here and say this is enough and not too much, and I'm not sure. I think we should all be asking around our neighbors. You know, if you see those things out there, eventually is that going to get old and look like a giant eyesore in the parking lot? And I'm not sure about that. I'd like to hear what other folks that have that level of visible panel relative to something that's relatively hidden on the roof and is less impactful to the view shed, as we would call it. The second thing I think the board should consider are the qualifications of a partner that we'd be in a situation with here for a 15-year contract or more, to your point. So the viability of that kind of an entity, you know, who's around that generally speaking is going to win a low bid proposal that will be around to do the operation and maintenance, and that will treat the district with respect over a 15-year time period should be carefully considered, I think. So I just wanted to be on record for those couple things.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from the public on solar? Any board members have any additional comments? Where do we go from here, Kevin?
As stated, it really should come out of the Finance and Facilities Committee, but as well, input from the board, based on what we heard from Kevin, and the ability that what he gave us was really ideas of where this could be, between what he is saying roof would be best at the middle school because of the life and the warranty of that roof compared to the others. I can give you the background from Gus Tishuk, who was the clerk of the works of roof renovations that went on. He believed that it would fall, our current roofs on the other schools would fall within the 15 year of usage, but not the 25 years, which is the life of the products that we're putting up, the guarantee that we have there. So that's something that the board has to take in mind. We'd have a 10-year window of either saying we're going to have the vendor take that back from us, or we're going to go ahead and own that and run the risk of whether or not we have to take that off our roof because we're having a problem with our roof. But I'll get that to the Finance and Facilities Committee as moving forward. And you know, hearing from Mr. Custer, who is really instrumental in helping us in this process over the last 4 months and getting to where we are right now, there is something to say about the aesthetics and the quality of many of our schools, and when you come in, what you want to see, and where functionally something like a bus drop-off would be great, especially for our lower students, give them some canopy coverage. But when I think of Spruce Run especially, you don't want anything to get in the way of that view in the front of that building. But going down that hillside, yeah, that might be a functional place. So these are all things that we can have discussions with out of the committee and put that forward. And we really need to get something by the 27th so we can put out an RFP.
Can I ask one more question? Spruce Run, I don't know, you've all been there in February and January. The wind that comes across that parking lot is just absolutely treacherous. It will move your body. How will those canopies stand up to that wind? I mean, it's pretty serious wind.
The canopies are typically designed more for uplift and overturning than they are for load, meaning the only thing that's on top of the canopies is roof and snow load, but we typically design for wind uplift. Most specifically, for those canopies. So that would be designed into the size of the steel and the connections.
Can you give us a name of maybe a school around that has them that people could, if they wanted to drive by and look at it and see if they thought, you know, it was ugly or, you know, if aesthetics is important, that people at least can see it? Or, you know, as a school district, are you going to talk to schools that already have it set in place and maybe had it for a little while? Do we know of any schools that have had it for a while and see how it's working out? Is it doing what they thought it would do? Is it more of a pain than it's worth, you know, that kind of thing?
I've been around, you know, specifically, I guess it's more like when I'm a coach of a travel soccer team. So when we're at other places, and sure enough, you see it, like Montgomery schools has ground mounts and roof mounts around. And you can see where they used open space that they were not going to cultivate into anything for the ground use. And where they had newer schools or newer parts of the school, they went for a roof mount.
Right, so. But have you talked to the school to say, like, how long have they had it? Is it doing what they thought it would do?
I have not had those discussions before. Okay. I've actually heard from Kevin as far as his work with schools in getting this done.
We can certainly provide Mrs. Lenhart with a list of either schools or higher education facilities and with some contact names. Now, keep in mind, it would have been that maybe they're in place for 3 years, 4 years. It's not going to be a scenario where they're in place for 8, 9, 10, 12 years.
Nowhere in New Jersey.
For that length of time?
For any, not saying 15 years, but any good amount of time where, you know, they can say, you know,
even if
it were saying, oh, we see a small difference, or, you know, we just see.
Well, here's why I would say no to that as far as a longer length of time. The enabling legislation that modified the school public contracts law, And correct me if I'm wrong, is only a few years old.
Okay.
And that enabling legislation permitted public entities, school districts and counties and municipalities, to enter into these power purchase agreements over the course of 15 years. So, it's
three,
nothing.
4 years is the longest that you think that they've
had? I mean, maybe five tops, but it's not a scenario we can go back and say, okay, let's see which ones have been executed for 15 years, and it's just not the case with this.
Can you go outside the state if any other states have had them longer?
Well, other states have had them, predominantly Texas and California, but New Jersey is one of the fastest growing in terms of solar in the country.
Right, but what I'm saying is, can you see how they've been working? I know California doesn't really get snow normally, but areas do. But I'm just saying, can we see, you know, how it's been with them?
My recommendation would be, I know that Stockton State College has installed parking lot solar canopies. I know that a few North Jersey colleges have installed them as well. So we can get you some names of both north and south locations in New Jersey where there are parking lot canopies, and the name of the facilities director. We can get those to Mrs. Lenhart and have her speak with them.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I do believe RVCC is looking into doing something like this with the canopies, so we'll definitely take a look at that. And there's also other businesses that have ground mount, roof mount, etc. So if people want ideas of aesthetics, you can go on a Saturday tour. I know Johnson & Johnson over Ortho Clinical Diagnostics has a ground mount. There's a roof mount, I think, on Cokesbury Road, and then one of those other buildings over in Lebanon.
One thing to keep in mind with ground mount, there are security concerns. I won't use the word issues. Each of the ground mount arrays will be fenced off so that you can't access them. Obviously, with the roof mount or the canopy mount, you have a fewer of those concerns.
Go ahead, Michelle.
When you say security concerns, what do you mean by security?
See, I knew I didn't want to use the word concern.
Thought you're almost out the door.
I assume he means vandalism.
Yeah.
People throwing
rocks
at them.
Oh,
we don't own them. although that's probably worked into the price. You know, I assume the risk of vandalism is going to be worked into the price.
Yes, and yes. Obviously, the higher the panels are, the less attractive nuisance that they would be. However, with the PPA delivery method, you don't own the panels, you don't pay for the breakage or damage, or you don't insure them either, and the power purchase agreement company will take that into consideration when they price the energy for you as far as how many panels on average they're going to need to replace because somebody decided to lob a rock over the fence.
Okay. Just on process here. So are we recommending that the Facilities and Finance Committee prepare a proposal?
That's my understanding.
If that's the case, then I'd ask everybody on the board who has opinions to forward them to me so that on the 27th we don't come out with something that's a surprise.
Well, that feedback is going to be critical so that we can now locate the areas, provide minimums, and move forward from there.
Right. And if members of the public have opinions, they can, of course, email them into the board as a whole, and they'll find their way to me.
Kevin has spoken to us twice now at public meetings, and we need to give him guidance on what to do with the RFP.
That's right.
So any public feedback or feedback from the board members it would be really useful.
In the next week.
Let's clarify the process a little bit through myself, and then I funnel it to the committee. That goes for both the public and the board.
Okay.
I'll be the catch basin, and then I'll funnel the information on.
And where are we specifically looking for things like location?
Yeah, all of this that would affect it. Eventually, we have to go out with an RFP, and we have to tell the companies we're bidding what it is that they're bidding on.
Now, two things to keep in mind. One is that we provided Mrs. Lenhart with a PDF of this entire PowerPoint presentation so that it can be distributed for your review so that you don't have to remember what was said this evening. And number two, if there are locations of roof mounts, more specifically than ground mounts, we would then need to do, as part of our proposal, a structural analysis of those particular roofs to make certain that they can handle the additional roof load. So, but we do that second step if dependent on where the board selects to place any and all roof mounts.
Can I ask a question? Does our RFP go out with the configuration set, or we're giving the PPA person a little leeway to say, you know,
I'm sure we'll give them some leeway.
You configure this out better than we have going.
Give them some leeway. We have to give them some guidance. We can't leave it blanket. You know, you come back and tell us where to put them. We're going to have to give them some
essentially guidance. What the RFP does, it does a couple things. It provides it goes through a similar analysis to what we did here based on system sizing. We provide locations and location types, meaning is it roof mount, is it ground mount, is it canopy mount. We provide minimums that they need to achieve in particular areas per site, meaning you have this much area, you have this parking lot, we need to achieve 100 kW in this parking lot, and we need to achieve it on a canopy mount. Or we say we have 50,000 square feet of roof, we need you to achieve at least 300 kW. You know, so we provide minimums, and what the PPA companies will do is they'll come back and they'll either they at least have to meet those minimums, and they can then provide more less than our maximums. Okay, but yeah, the RFP is different than a design bid build. We don't specify exactly what needs to be done. It's more of a performance RFP.
Okay.
So we provide the guidelines, and then they will design it.
Yes.
Joanne Files, 3 Circle Drive, Lebanon. I guess my concern is, and I agree with Mr. Custer about the aesthetics of it. We have this beautiful middle school, and then you're going to put these in the parking lot. I kind of have a little issue with that. And the other thing is, you're comparing Stockton State College, J&J, wherever these may be. We're talking little kids here, too. And especially, I don't know the one in Spruce. I think there was a canopy in the back parking lot. I don't know where it was in McGarren. I don't forget the slide. But I know in Spruce, when they can't use, you know, for recess, they use the playground in the back. And in McGarren, when we can't use the field, we use the parking lot on the side. So that's just a consideration also that takes up some of the kids' space.
That's an excellent point, thank you.
Mrs. Files, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I was just thinking about the shade aspect when the kids are playing outside at, like, say, PMG.
Mm-hmm.
In times like the past few weeks when it's been very hot, there is no shade. Would you foresee any benefit to having some shade available?
I mean, they go out in the field then. I know they do kind of drape between the two buildings there. They, a lot of times they'll put like a canopy over there to create some shade. But it's really hot. We've stayed inside last week. We had indoor recess. So.
Thank you.
Okay. And the presentation will be put up on the website, so anybody from the public wants to get a hold of that, they can.
And knowing that the Facilities and Finance Committee has to get together and gather with the thought, I believe, that maybe we'd be able to have some official motion on the 27th, which is just 2 weeks from tonight. So the hope is that any and all input, both from the board and the public, would be received by me no later than, let's say, Sunday or Monday.
Pat, we can put that out in Tuesday Tidings with a link to this and invite people to share their input as we heard this evening.
Great.
Okay. Kevin, thank you very much.
Great, thank
we'll
you, sir.
We'll be in touch. Thank you. Let's see if anybody needs. We do have some chairs up in front, ladies, if you'd like.